Hi, Royals fans. This is J.J. Piccolo. The University of Kansas Health System is the official health care provider of the Kansas City Royals. Get the major league care you deserve at kansashealthsystem.com/royals.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Buchady with Jake Gutierrez, who is back. Everyone's back. How about that? Now, hopefully soon, it will be time for me to leave. Not kidding at all. Yeah. Marcus Peters, huh? So maybe Marcus Peters.
Wait, something happened when I was gone?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
What? Marcus Peters?
Officially, nothing's happened.
Right. Well. Marcus Peters was on NFL Network last night speaking with Michael Robinson on NFL Total Access, and we'll play that whole interview later on in the show. And pretty freaking interesting from Marcus Peters, who, well, he's a Los Angeles Ram, and you expect him to say some of the things that he said. But I can tell you this, if you're looking for a way for Marcus Peters to turn Jake Gutierrez against him, it was the slobbering he did all over Alex Smith at the end of that interview. And boy, let me tell you.
Troll job.
Let me tell you.
Troll job at its finest.
I don't know. You know, there's all these different things that are coming out of this story that maybe we'll find out more, maybe we'll never find out, but, you know, you put two and two together, and yesterday you read Therese Paylor and some of his comments that he made, and different people just talking to different sources. Obviously, finally yesterday, we were able to see what the compensation was for the deal. And a lot of people were very angry, as I knew they would be, when they found out what the Chiefs got, because it did not include a first-round pick. And it did not include a second-round pick from this year, because the Rams don't have one. And so the Chiefs get a fourth-round pick this year. They have to give up a sixth-round pick also this year. So it's Marcus Peters and a sixth-round pick this year for a fourth-round pick this year and a second-round pick next year. And so that's not very much for a player of Marcus Peters' caliber. But there wasn't a whole lot of teams that wanted Marcus Peters out there. And that's just the truth. There's a whole bunch of teams out there that have former members of the Chiefs' front office and coaching staff that were around Marcus Peters, and the Cleveland Browns and the Chicago Bears and the Indianapolis Colts and the Philadelphia Eagles were not falling all over themselves to try to trade for Marcus Peters. And that's, you know, Chiefs fans don't want to hear that. If you're a Marcus Peters fan, you don't want to hear that. But that's just the truth of the matter. That is what it is. The Chiefs had decided they were going to walk away from Marcus Peters. Marcus Peters is pretty clear. The more people we talk to and the more things that come out, he didn't want to be here. He had no intentions of ever signing a long-term deal here. I don't think Clark Hunt wanted to pay him to stay here for a long-term deal, and I don't think Marcus Peters wanted to be here. So when you have two sides that are unwilling to even consider a long-term deal, well, this is what happens. And they could have stuck with it, but clearly there was some damage to the relationship, enough to the point where the Chiefs had enough and they wanted to move him. And there's enough question marks around Marcus Peters, whether you like it or not, that teams were not lined up to trade for him. Teams were lined up to trade for Alex Smith. Teams were not lined up to trade for Marcus Peters. That's just the truth. And the comments I was talking about from Therese Paylor, who knows the team very well, obviously covers the team for the Kansas City Star. He said, I don't expect any of this to make you feel any better about losing Peters, because he had mentioned the Chiefs were rolling over approximately $2.6 million to the 2018 cap, the eighth lowest amount in football. Chiefs also spent the second lowest amount in cash on player salaries this year, but still had cap issues. And he said, time to pay the paper, hence soft rebuild in 18. I don't expect any of that to make you feel better, but it could get worse before it gets better. Therese thinks he'll Marcus Peters will kill it in L.A. I think we all do. We expect him to play very well, especially on that defense. And he said McVay and Phillips, Sean McVay and Wade Phillips, can connect with him. I agree with that. Wade Phillips is one of the most respected defensive coordinators, one of the best defensive coordinators in all of football. And Sean McVay is the youngest head coach in football. But this is the interesting part. As for KC, they essentially decided they didn't want to make Peters the NFL's highest-paid cornerback. But while Peters was liked by several teammates, the Chiefs are building the next wave around Patrick Mahomes. His voice will be the eventually be the strongest in the room, if all goes right. And it just the way. So when I first saw that, but while Marcus Peters was liked by several teammates, the Chiefs are building the next wave around Patrick Mahomes. I don't know. When I read that yesterday afternoon, I was like, several teammates liked him, but the Chiefs want to build this next wave around Patrick Mahomes. I mean, so you couldn't build this next wave around Patrick Mahomes and still have Marcus Peters in the locker room? Marcus Peters, so why couldn't you do both? I guess, is what my question would be. And then you hear Marcus Peters' comments about Patrick Mahomes and Alex Smith on NFL Network. I don't know. I pair that with what Therese said. Maybe there was something there. Maybe Marcus Peters was one of the guys that didn't think Patrick Mahomes should be the starting quarterback. Or hell, I don't know. Maybe Marcus Peters doesn't like Patrick Mahomes. Maybe Mahomes doesn't like Marcus Peters. When you have 53 guys on a football team, not everyone likes each other. Just because your teammates, trust me, there are teammates that despise each other on every NFL football team. There have been Chiefs players that have hated each other in the locker room. We've seen fights. We've seen feuds. We've seen factions. We've seen it all. I've seen it all in the last 20 years of covering the Chiefs in that locker room. And so that you know, I don't think that was the only reason, and I don't think it's a huge deal, but I think that could be another factor. If you got a guy that's not totally on board with Patrick Mahomes, or maybe they've gotten into it before, whatever, read into it. You got to read into it because the Chiefs aren't saying anything. And when the Chiefs don't say anything, hopefully they say something. And try to give some more information and give reasons why the trade was made. I mean, actions speak louder than words. So you know how the Chiefs felt about Marcus Peters. Because if they didn't feel that way, then he'd still be here. But maybe this is another factor. Maybe when they decided, okay, we're going to move forward with Patrick Mahomes, and he's going to take over this football team, and it's not going to be just, you know, for this year or next year. Moving forward for several years to come, this is going to be Mahomes' guy, and we think it's going to be more difficult for him to take over this football team with Peters in the locker room. I'm willing to hear that too. If that was a factor, and maybe it is, maybe it was. That wouldn't shock me. Or maybe what Jake's saying is true. I think it might be a little bit of both. Maybe he's, you know, trolling Chiefs fans. How could I really piss off the Chiefs or piss, you know, I could take a dump on their new quarterback and love up the quarterback they just traded. Whatever. I mean, I can just tell you what my reaction was when I saw that. I don't want to say it on the air because I can't cuss, but what did I tell you, Jake? I said, man, we were talking on the way in. I said, number one, I want to go to Mexico City. And number two, I don't know if it'll happen, but boy, would I love to see Mahomes, you know, go for 350 yards and three touchdowns on the Rams now. I mean, I'm here for it. Let's go. Not that I wasn't already excited about the Chiefs playing the Rams in Mexico City, because that's where my grandmother's from. And I'd love to go and cover that game. So I'll go ahead and
Should tweet at the radio station.
No.
Maybe they'll send you.
No, I'll just.
They might.
I'll just tell them I want to go.
Oh, okay.
So, no need for that. But, yeah, I don't know. What did you guys think when you saw that?
I thought it was an amazing plot twist, because if you had polled Kansas City fans and asked them, do you think that Marcus Peters is pro Mahomes or pro Smith? Almost everybody would have assumed that he was pro Mahomes.
Why?
Because he's Marcus Peters, and because of the tweet, you know, the let them nuts hang blood tweet, and just his swashbuckling personality, you'd think that he wouldn't like the conservative approach of Alex Smith. You know, we've been told a bunch that the growing factions were the young guys versus the old guys in that locker room. He's one of the young guys. Just everything about it, I feel like everybody would have guessed, oh no, yeah, Marcus Peters is a Patrick Mahomes fan. And so it almost seems like a final heel turn, you know, like on his way out the door.
So do you think he really is? Do you think that's the way he really feels, or he's just trolling?
I don't know, but I would guess that's really how he feels. Marcus Peters strikes me as the kind of guy that says what's on his mind. But I don't know.
He knows how to give me the football. That's what he said a couple times.
Yeah.
He knows how to give me the football.
That's trash talk, is what that is.
Of course it is. Yeah.
I mean, you know, I respect that, you know, whatever.
You know, I feel like I don't think Marcus Peters really cared either way. And now that this happened, I think he may be, okay, you know, I know how to twist the knife a little bit. I mean, I'm sure he had an opinion, but I don't think it was that strong. He seems like a guy who's like, okay, I'm going to worry about my bit, you know.
But sometimes we sit here and everyone in the media, yep, and on the radio, we're so arrogant, like we know everything that goes on in the locker room. We know everything, that every individual relationship between players. How in the hell do we know? How the hell do we know what every offensive lineman really thinks of Alex Smith? All the defensive players aren't best friends. I mean, the same problems that have, look, hey, there's people at this radio station over the last 20 years that have turned into some of my best friends in my life, more like family than coworkers. I mean, you guys are two of them. I have people that I love that work at this radio station. There's also people that have come through this radio station in the last 20 years that if I never see them again for the rest of my life, I'm pretty happy about that. I'm excited about that. I hope that I never see them. You know, to the point where if they were in a room and I walked into it, I'd try to leave the room before they saw me, or force them to leave with my stare, which happens a lot with certain people.
I've seen it.
When I see them around town.
I've seen it.
But the point is, you don't get along with everyone you work with. You don't get along with everyone that's on your team. You don't, just think about it. Think about it when you go to work today, people, or if you go to school today. Do you love everyone in your class? Do you love everyone in your office? No. And guess what? Not all those players love each other. In fact, some of them really don't like each other because they're human beings. And they come from all different walks of life. It's like they don't all like the coaches. And the coaches don't like all the players. That's just how it is. We think of these things and try to figure things out just based on what we know. And we don't know everything. The fans don't know everything. The media doesn't know everything. Hell, sometimes the players don't know everything. What the hell's going on with teammates? And so if that wouldn't shock me. I mean, you've been around enough clubhouses and locker rooms. Sometimes players get traded because they don't fit, or there's an issue, there's a problem. Stuff that we don't know about. And you said that a bunch of times when we talked about the Royals, you know. We talk about someone's performance or why isn't this guy doing that? And you'll say, well, you know what? Maybe it's something we don't know. Maybe he's dealing with a personal problem. Maybe, and I always try to remind myself of that too when, you know, a guy's struggling or a guy's having some issues. Maybe it's not all baseball. I mean, you don't know what a guy's going through. in his personal life. You don't know what a guy's going through, and you know that could affect his performance on the field. And so again, we don't know about all the relationships and personal relationships that are good or bad in that locker room. And I was fascinated when I listened to this interview.
Yeah.
And when I heard those comments. Is it Marcus Peters just being a troll, just trying to twist the knife and get us talking about something? Maybe. But I kind of lean towards what you said. It seems like he says what he wants. And he says what he wants because that's what he thinks.
Well, I think there has to be some truth in it. But how much truth and how much he really, and how maybe he exaggerated a little bit and threw a little bit more into it. But I don't know. But there has to be some truth to that statement that he made. Whether, you know, how much truth is in behind it and what's his intent behind it, we'll never know. But that feeling came from him. I mean, that's a true feeling.
I definitely came away from that interview thinking Marcus Peters' problem with, if there was somebody he had issues with, it was Bob Sutton, not Alex Smith, you know? Because for a long time, I thought, you know, and maybe we based too much off of one tweet, but that tweet, you know, the let them nuts hang blood tweet, right, we all thought was a shot at Alex Smith for being too conservative, and maybe it still was.
And maybe Alex Smith, with the way he improved his play and the way he played this year, and you're around somebody, you know, for a longer amount of time, maybe a mutual respect grew.
That's a great point, because, you know, I was going to say that when you were talking about relationships in your office or your classroom, those relationship dynamics change and evolve over time as well.
They could get better or they could get worse.
Right, right. And maybe some of his relationships got worse while he was here, and maybe some of them got better.
I mean, I'll give you an easy example, like with me. When I used to co-host a show with Jason Whitlock here, the dynamic was it was us on Whitlock's show, and then the way he managed us, you know, because he was like, you know, the show leader, the host, the team leader of the group of people that worked on the show, it would be like a divide and conquer. He would make us, Jake, you remember enough of that, he would say enough things and put enough things in our heads where I believed, because I worked with him every day, and he was my boss on the show, that just about everyone in the entire building hated me. Not disliked me, hated me. Steven, they all hate you. I'm the only reason you're here. They all want you gone. They hate you. And what it would do is it would create a loyalty to him, because I think, oh, he's the only reason I'm here. I'm not good enough to be here on my own. He's keeping me here because he likes me. Well, I better be fiercely loyal to him. But it would also make you so freaking, I mean, like, paranoid.
Yeah.
Like, oh boy.
I saw it in you.
And you start to dislike other people because you think they don't like you.
Right,
because
you're told over and over, man, they all hate you. They all hate you. They all hate you. You know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and he would, you know.
I mean, I saw it all. I didn't know the dynamic. I was just an intern. I just kind of sat back and, you know, you were my guy. So right. I kind of just hitched
my
wagon.
You walk around with your chip on your shoulder. Why does everyone hate me? Well, you know what? Then and here I am, you know, 24, 25 years old, Mexican-American kid from Northeast, is really still unsure that I'm even going to make in this business. And then I got, you know, my guy, my boss filling my head with all those things. It does not make for a comfortable working environment. Right, Jake, you saw that, and it worked, and it worked that way, you know, and it sucked. It sucked. It was terrible. And so when you have a bad working environment or something like that, it could fester, it could get worse. But then you remove the problem, and I realize, so they don't hate me, they like me. Oh, he's gone and I'm still here. It worked out, but you don't know that at the time. And that's just an example just in my life of how one person could change the dynamic and change how I feel and change how I feel about other people. That it happens. And that has nothing to do with the Chiefs and what's happened with Marcus Peters and Patrick Mahomes and everything else. But my point is, it can create an unhealthy environment. And I don't know if that's the case. I don't know how close they are.
Thank you.
I don't know if they're close at all. I don't know if there was a rift between Mahomes and Marcus Peters, but boy, this leads you to believe there was something there. You know, I mean, he's telling you right there, he didn't agree with them trading Alex Smith, and he pumped up Alex Smith, and then he talked trash on Mahomes. What else, like, what else are you supposed to take away from that? And Marcus Peters is a smart guy. He again, how much of that was truth, how much of that was trolling, what I can tell you is he knows exactly what the reaction was going to be back in Kansas City. He knows what he's doing. Mm. He knows what he's doing. He knows exactly what he said and what he wanted to say and what the reaction would be. Right?
I think so, yeah. The thing that's toughest for me to swallow, and I understand it, and right. I understand all the points you made, but like you talked about, you know, Therese's series of tweets yesterday and everything. He paints the picture of a team that's getting ready to take a step back next year in order to make a big step forward in 2019. And if that turns out to work out great, that's awesome. I'm having a hard time coming around to it because I really thought this team was getting ready to compete this year. And I really thought, especially with the weapons they have on offense, and there's a window for those guys to really be in their prime, I really thought they were ready to step in with the money they saved on trading Alex Smith and everything and compete this year. And the way that Therese kind of lays it out, it's like, nah, they're not even, they're ready to take a step back. That's a tough one for me to come around to. Maybe I will.
Well, yeah, and I'll say this. I guess the realists would say, why do you feel like they're getting ready to compete? They took a step backwards this past year. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
A pretty big step backwards. It's the team that has pretty much been together for 5 years, and they've not peed a drop in the playoffs.
It's true.
Like,
now they got Patrick Mahomes.
Right. But I mean, okay, like defensively.
Right.
Why are we so hell-bent on keeping this defense together? It was horrible last year. And they took a dump in the bed in the second half in the playoffs, and they just laid down. And I get it. I understand. Marcus Peters was probably the best player on that defense. But just the way things were put together, hell, they should blow up the defense. But part of that, I think we all felt like should have been Bob Sutton as well.
Right.
Right. But they don't believe that. They believe it was player performance-based and not defensive coordinator performance-based. The issues and the problems. And so they've doubled down on Bob Sutton. We'll see. I don't feel optimistic about that, but I also don't feel like this team was ready to take a big step this year and go to the Super Bowl because they can't win a effing playoff game. And they took a huge step back, and they looked at it and said, you know, this thing's not getting any better. They felt like they needed to make drastic changes, and I'll be honest with you, I can't disagree with that. Now, what the changes are, we could talk about that, but huge changes needed to be made. Huge changes needed to be made. And they're making them. We'll take a break. Back into this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Let's play some more of the Marcus Peters interview. Here's Marcus Peters on NFL Network last night with his reaction to the trade.
It's business.
That's it?
It's business. And all I can do is just go handle mine. You know, I thank the Kansas City Chiefs for everything they did for me to start it off. Now it's on L.A. You know, I'm going to miss playing on my teammates for sure.
Yeah,
That's the biggest thing about this game, that you can't change nothing about the business. Because once you get in that locker room, that's family. You know, and I miss the guys, man. I miss Eric, miss Justin.
Yeah.
I miss Coach Reed. Man, Big Red. and it's funny, man, because I'm sitting there, and it's been a crazy little week, you know, and mm-hmm. I'm sitting there, and I'm looking at everything, and it's like, man, y'all talking about me and Big Red had issues?
So, goes out of his way to say that he didn't have any issues with Andy Reid, with Big Red. Here is Marcus Peters with more on Andy Reid.
Big Red can come check me like my pops can come check me, and I'll take it as thank you, Big Red, because you know what? He was looking in the best interest for me to become a better player. You know, they already knew that I had some so-called character issues off the field, you know, that happened at UW, and they took me, you know, all they told me was, come on, we're gonna take it and we're going to grow together, you know, and we grew for these 3 years. It was cool, and sometimes it's just business.
Got to move on.
It's just business.
Well, I mean, look, Sam Mellinger thinks Clark Hunt was involved. We talked to Jeff Chedia about that yesterday. I mean, Clark Hunt had to have input. This had to be something that came from the top.
Yeah, I find it hard to believe that you can get rid of, as a GM, you're working for the owner. And in this situation, you're collaborating with the coach, and you're kind of working for the coach in this situation that they have in Kansas City. How a caliber player of all pro level, you can't just get rid of him and be like, yeah, well, we got this for him. What do you think?
And again, this was mutual. Everything that we've heard, everything that I've heard, Marcus Peters was not interested in signing a long-term deal here. And Clark Hunt was not going to pay Marcus Peters in a long-term deal. Neither side wanted that for probably different reasons, but that's how it is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes when a couple gets a divorce, both of them want it.
Right.
Both of them want to break up and get the hell out of town. Marcus Peters, like he said, he talked about he's going to miss his teammates, loves his teammates. But everything that we've heard, both on and off the record, Marcus Peters wasn't interested in staying in Kansas City long term, and Clark Hunt wasn't interested in having Marcus Peters stay long term. And so when you know that from, you know, the... If you know that, that's just as good as telling the GM and the coach, well, you better think about moving on. You better think about moving him. And look, let's be real here. Marcus Peters pissed off Clark Hunt. If you don't think that was at least part of the reason, kneeling for the national anthem, throwing the flag in the stands, walking off the field, in the middle of a game, when you haven't been thrown all, when you haven't been thrown out of the game, of course they were factors. Marcus Peters even said it last night on NFL Network. When I threw that flag in the stands, I knew what was going to happen. You know that Marcus Peters had been talked to before by Andy Reid or whoever else talked to him, right? He knew. He's a smart guy. He knows. If you've been talked to about your behavior, your conduct, or then you do something, you know, like, well, as soon as you do it, right?
Mm-hmm.
I've gotten in trouble. I've done things that I wasn't supposed to do because in my life I've had trouble controlling my anger. It'll shock both of you.
What?
And it's way better than it was 5 years ago. It's way better than it was 10 years ago. I mean, it's no comparison to when I was 20 or 25 years old. I've done my best, and I'm still not perfect. But I've done things that I know that I shouldn't have done, that I've been told, or I knew, if I do this, I'm going to get in trouble. And you react and you do it. Doesn't mean I'm a bad person. Just means sometimes I have trouble controlling myself, which, you know, hey, it's a work in progress. I'm 45. I feel like by the time I'm 70, maybe we'll... Have everything figured
we
out.
We hope.
Oh, wow. I mean, if I'm around long enough.
That'd be a good timetable.
Well, you know, that's what we're working towards. I feel like that's the ETA here.
I'm afraid we're just going to start getting crazier and crazier as we get closer to that,
well,
that age. But, right. You know, we'll do our best.
Will we?
Maybe. We'll get crazier in different ways.
Where's the clip where he says when we come back, that's what I want to play, when he said that he knew what was going to happen after he threw that flag in the stands. you know? And maybe he wasn't, and that's my point. He at some point he knew, like, I don't want to be here. At some point this season, the Chiefs knew we were going to move on. What did Torres say? They've been working on this for how long?
I don't remember it exactly.
So it was like 3 weeks, and and I think it was Ian Rappaport that said the Chiefs have known for 2 months they were going to trade him. Play this next Marcus Peters. He was asked on how he has grown from his mistakes.
The best thing about it is that you can grow from it.
Yeah.
You learn from everything. You learn from your from things that happen to you, and you take everything. And I put it on my own shoulders. You know, I don't blame nobody for nothing I do. You know, if I do it, once I threw that flag in the stands, I knew it was going to happen. You know, yeah. I shouldn't have walked off. And I had to go take a shower. I came back, my socks and stuff was gone. So
yeah.
I wasn't coming out there, you know, to just be out there, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I had my mom and my son right there, you know.
But what's your reaction when you hear him say that?
I mean, I think he's a guy that loses his temper, and he knows it.
Yeah, we've heard Jeff Chedia talk about it. He plays on that line. I mean, he's on that line.
Like, you know, it's the same thing with Kelce too. How many times?
Right.
If did we say, well, you know, man, he just can't. He can't do that again. You can't get a personal foul.
And there,
or you can't hurt. Or you can't hurt the team. You can't react. And then you like. And even the people that love Kelce, like, what are you doing? Why are you doing that? You've been talked to by the team. Everyone knows you can't do that. You can't hurt the team, and that he would still do it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you hope that he's gotten over that hump now. And he's not going to do it. But would it shock anyone if game two next year something happens and he gives the old jerk off sign to the ref? I don't know. Sorry, I'm on TV. Did I do that? That was kind of half hearted.
No,
that's my life.
Yep.
Right. Because it's happened. Like, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just Marcus Peters.
It seemed to me like a guy that was honest with himself. You know, listening to him talk there, he's honest with himself. Like, I can't blame anybody else but me. I did it.
Right.
I got to learn from it.
Own it.
I keep thinking of Yordano Ventura. And I remember after he had started a couple fights and been talked to, he started another one in Chicago. And I remember Ned Yost after the game was asked about it. Like, he doesn't seem to be learning his lesson. And Ned said, well, you don't always learn your lesson the first time or the second time or the third time. You just got to keep teaching it. And you hope at some point that lesson finally, you know, comes across.
And you've got to learn to control that if you're the coach or if you're the manager. Because with players like Kelce or Ventura or Marcus Peters, that competitive fire that sometimes overtakes them and gets them too emotional and might get them into trouble on the field, that's also what makes them so damn good, because they're so ultra competitive and they have that unbelievable desire and passion to succeed and beat the guy across from them. And it players over time learn to control that and not let it get out of hand. It fuels them instead of burning them up. We'll take a break. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We've got some good tweets coming through. Roy says, you have said that letting go of Peters is a dumb move because he's a good football player. I'd argue that there is more to it than just his play. His attitude is terrible and rubs off on younger players, because Roy said that my story of Whitlock contradicted my stance on Peters. That's not. I was giving you a personal example. I'm not saying that clearly that situation had nothing to do with the Marcus Peters situation. I was just giving you an example of how an attitude can affect others around you in a workplace.
You were talking about how sometimes people who work together might not necessarily get along together.
That's just the point. And to clarify my stance, it looks like a dumb move on paper. From a football standpoint, just for fans and for people that don't have a complete working knowledge of everything that's going on behind the scenes. And that will include all of us. So, like, fans don't know very much what's going on behind the scenes. The media knows a little bit more, but not a whole lot. We just don't. You can guess. there's plenty, there are plenty of people in our line of work that are full of it, full of crap. They act like they know what's going on, and they speak with authority like they know what's going on, and they don't. And so I try to be a little bit more even-handed and allow for the fact that I don't know everything that's going on there in the locker room and with the relationships between players. And so, and that's why, yes, it's easy to criticize the deal. Just, hey, they gave up an all-pro caliber cornerback for essentially a second and a fourth round pick who's 25 years old, still on his rookie contract, and very affordable. That doesn't look good on paper, but you have to dig deeper and understand there are other reasons why the move was made. There are other reasons why the Chiefs felt like they couldn't move on with Marcus Peters. And Marcus Peters really didn't want to be here moving forward. That's what all the indications are. So it's more than just football. It's not, unfortunately, you can't oversimplify what happened. We're seeing this. There are several reasons why this happened. And if there's anyone outside of that locker room, there's people inside that locker room that don't know why. You think every player knows every relationship and what the hell's going on with Marcus Peters? No. There are plenty of players that looked at the news on Twitter and said, what? They traded Marcus Peters? This sucks. Just like there's some other players that said, what? They traded Marcus Peters? Good. Glad he's gone. Because that's life. Back into this on WHB. Nate Buchanan just rolled in. He apparently has not let everything go last night.
Had a great time. Took some of the beautiful Allen Field hat. Went to taking care of us there. I had the Bill Self, which is the buffalo chicken tender mac and cheese.
What?
Which made me feel very full.
Okay, what did you drink? No one wants to hear about
that. I had a Modelo Negro on the way up. I had two extra special bitter beers at dinner, and I had a Blue Moon on the way back.
On the way, so
we had a bus. No. You know, we had a bus. So
I was gonna say,
I was like, that's a little
painting a picture. Like, hey,
roadies, road sodas.
So it was good. We had a good time.
Were you buzzed during the game?
Did you know
what was going on?
No, yeah, of course, I knew what was going on. I took it pretty easy. It was fun though. We had a lot of fun.
Do you think you knew what was going on, Jake? Was he like,
you know, he's
14.
You know what? They had clients, so probably had a half of a clue.
I had at least a half a clue.
Right.
I had a clue that Texas was not playing any defense whatsoever in the game. I'm told that's because Mo Bamba was hurt. So apparently, when your best defensive player gets hurt, you're not allowed to even try to guard people. So that was impressive.
Wow.
But actually, I would give the Longhorns credit. I thought they looked like the team that had quit in the first half. But in the second half, they fought back. And they made it a bit of a close game from time to time. So I'll give him credit for that. But it was great to see Svi have a great game on his way out. Devontae Graham with 11 assists. And they win it outright. They would have won it outright even if they didn't win last night because Texas Tech lost. So congratulations to Kansas. I mean, it's amazing. Thinking about, they put the trophies all out there, 14 in a row. They put them out there on the table. And
it is amazing. Who could have possibly predicted they'd win this conference?
Well, I mean, I know you can say that, but it's amazing.
To
win 14 in a row is, I mean, it's never been done before.
I'm talking about this year. Who could have possibly predicted they would win this conference? It's so, I'm blindsided by this. Like, what?
It's not a surprise, but.
No, Jake doesn't believe it. He said, look at the standings. And
I do want to say congratulations.
I can't believe it.
To who?
To Bob Newton, who did his last game as the producer-engineer of the Jayhawk Radio Network after 34 years. I worked with him for 14 years when I was working at the Jayhawk Radio Network.
He does deserve congratulations. Yeah. Worked with you for 14 years.
Great man. So he did his last game at Allen Fieldhouse last night.
Congratulations, Bob Newton. And we apologize for whatever Nate did in that decade and a half. We'll be right back after this on WHB. Thanks for watching us on 38 The Spot. Bye-bye.